willfully reject what Jesus did on Calvary, you see, there's no other way to get there. Here we see their blasphemous words against the Holy Spirit are unforgiven. Why? Because of what they do. They say, I don't want any part of what God's plan of salvation is. The Holy Spirit is a person who works in the heart of a man. It is he who convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. There's a single word that is descriptive of his work, and that is conviction. A man sees, feels, or hears about God's goodness and love and his own need to surrender to God. The Spirit takes those evidences and uses them as convictions. He convicts a man's heart to believe. The man may go on and on, refusing to acknowledge God and surrender his life to God. Such a man eventually becomes so hardened that he cannot recognize God's goodness. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him in open shame. He reaches a point of such hardness that he no longer sees God or feels God or hears God. And Jesus says, you can hear him hollering out, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they reject that. Well, there's no other way to get saved. It's the only way. They hear further. They may taste it a bit of it. Simplest and clearest of terms, it is stubborn rejection, stiff-necked refusal, obstinate unbelief. Therefore, to reject the blaspheming and convicting power of the Holy Spirit is to deprive a person of salvation through Christ. There is a danger in your journey to hell that you can cross the point of no return in your life. Yes, sometimes God uses fear to warn us of the seriousness of what we are doing. Sometimes God uses the joy of being a Christian to invite us. You never know. In John chapter 3, John the Baptist speaks of his perfect joy. And the word eternal and eternal life means a high quality of life as well as everlasting life. My dear friend, can you imagine? You can't imagine this beautiful day that we have out here as we go down. The blue sky, the white clouds, everything's so beautiful. The color of the leaves. This place is friends, heaven and hell are alike in many ways. They're both in our prepared places. Heaven is for the prepared, and hell is for those not prepared. Both are eternal places, both are forever, and there's no second chance in hell. And both destinations have eternal in this life. Don't fall for that lie of the devil about purgatory or some other that these crazy groups put together. There's no such place as purgatory. That's a trick of the devil. You think you've got another chance? Is here. And now, before you die, you make that decision whether you're going to have it. The message of Christianity is a joyful message that God can make us holy. For example, when you come to Christ, God will clean up your conversation. I think of all the foul, vile talk that goes on in the world today. It is absolutely amazing. Television, comments. been washed in the blood. Our conscience has been cleansed by the Lamb of God. To refuse the invitations of God means that we reject the joy of developing a Christ-like character. I don't believe there are many men happier, but that are constantly ashamed of themselves. The story of this life is the story of a broken-hearted God. God who calls out to each of us to turn from our wicked ways and be saved. His invitation comes in various forms: the death of a loved one, the words of a hymn, a tract, or the sermon by a pastor, or something of that nature. There will be an invitation in this form, slightly distorted, but at this point, the angels in heaven fold their wings, waiting for your decision. During the living hell of World War II, a faithful gospel preacher spoke of the love of Jesus to a crowd gathered in the bomb buildings of a German town. Seven cities of Paris, Florence, the sermon was interrupted. A man came up and said, "Why don't you be quiet? Don't speak to me of hell. Look at all this suffering and death. We're in hell right now." I'm sure many have suffered from it. But the old preacher answered, "No, my friend, I understand and I have feelings for you, what you've gone through. But we are not in hell here. There's a church here. There are no churches in hell. Here's a Bible. There are no Bibles in hell. Here's a man standing up in the name of God to plead with sinners to accept